All right, wish to extend greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been a blessing to be here this morning again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness, for your mercy to us. We ask that you would just be with us today. Fill us with your spirit and give us wisdom. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Cade, what was the Bible verse that you gave out? Acts 4:32. Let's just turn right there. Really appreciated the boys this morning giving their verses about the church and about the new Zion, the Zion that Christ brought in, the church. In this song we just finished singing, People of the Living God. I remember the first time I heard this song, and it was just such a blessing to me. And I just really appreciated the thought and the heart of what it was saying. Let's read this in Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him that was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as they had need. I'll just stop there. What main thing I wanted to read about was just this verse 32. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. That goes with what I was thinking about this morning. My mind went of a message that I had talked about a long time ago, given called synthetic fruit. And I gave the example of anymore you can. They've got baskets of fruit that just look so real. Long time ago they would make these, but you could just see them way off that they were just false, just wax fruit, you know. Looked good, but it was just wax, but you could tell it was. Anymore, they have fruit and plants that are just so real looking that you cannot even hardly tell the difference in them. But it's still a synthetic fruit. And I think I used this part of this text at one point about how some groups try to start their group and they find a point in the Bible and they begin to try to emulate that point. Like these sold everything and they thought, oh, well, we will be Christians when we sell everything and that will make us a new church. And some people use tongues, and well, if we have tongues, that'll be evidence of a new church. Or they have many different things that they try to put the appearance of what it says into practice and suppose that they have what Christ ordained for the church. Some people will say, well, if we'll all just meet together and we'll all just hash out all our rules and just exactly how we believe and what we believe. Then we will be the church. Then we will have unity. one with another. And so they try to, from the outside, form these outward things to develop a unity of heart. And it never works. The verse here that I want to bring out is, "And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul." They were of one heart and soul. Their fellowship didn't come from the outward, trying to be forced into the heart. It came from the heart and of the soul. When a man walks in the light, the Bible says, if we walk in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. And then it says, the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, will cleanse us from all sin. Whenever each one of us take up our cross and follow and walk in that light, the church is there. And it, the results of what the Bible talks about just begin to grow as a natural fruit. It's nothing that is forced into place. It's not synthetic. It's not plastic. It's not made into a form or a mold. It is life from the heart and soul of people who want truth with all their heart and soul. And they have a fellowship that no one can understand. They have a bond that people don't understand, that people feel like they're left on the outside of, because they're trying to form this fruit from the outside instead of from the inside. This song was saying, "People of the living God, I have sought the world around. Paths of sin and sorrow trod, peace and comfort nowhere found. Now to you my spirit turns, turns a fugitive unblessed. Brethren, where your altar burns, oh receive me into rest." People of the living God. We believe that whenever people are of one heart and one soul, that is the heart, that is the focus, that is where the church is. It doesn't say that we're all of one opinion, or one of one idea, or of one form of doctrine or set of doctrines. It says of one heart and one soul. And that's just such a blessing that it just explains so much of the time I've spent in my journey of following the Lord, just to find someone of a kindred heart and a kindred spirit. I've spent so much time trying to hash out all the little details instead of just walking with someone of the same heart and soul. And I just want to emphasize that, just what a blessing it is that we can just trust and walk in that spirit. And that's all it takes to have communion and fellowship, of walking, of being one heart and one soul. And that's not that we can even put that into a fruit. You walk it, you live it out. And you begin to have fellowship with those, with others who have the same. That's the heart of the church. That's what it is about the people of the living God. It's not just a denomination. It's not a group here and there. It's opening ourselves to be just exactly what God wants us to be. And we look around and we find someone else of that fellowship. That's what we've spent the last 15 or 20 years traveling all over the world, just looking for someone that will just allow that heart and soul to walk. And that becomes so limited sometimes by us and by others. I just thought of a verse there in 1 Corinthians. I think it's 1 Corinthians 12. It says that the more that I love, in the King James, it says, the more I love, the less I am loved. And I've thought about that quite a bit. The more that I love, the less that I'm loved. That's what Paul said. He said the more that he tried to share love, the less people loved him. And I've thought about that. We were in Peru preaching, and there was a big crowd of people around us, and they were talking about love. And I just said, you know, Jesus was love. The Bible says that Christ was love in the flesh. He spent his whole life just helping people, doing healing, doing all kinds of good things, forgiving people. And the more that he loved, what happened to him? You know, we think that I had the idea that whenever I really became serious about following the Lord, one of the things that I thought, well, if I really, I saw mediocre Christianity all around me, and I thought, well, if I just give myself completely to following the Lord, the more that I give, the more that I want to follow the Lord, the more that I am zealous towards following the Lord, then people will recognize that. They're looking for something really encouraging to just go for it, to follow the Lord. And as I began to really just apply what the Bible said, thinking that people will recognize this because it's right there in front of us. Nobody's doing it and everybody talks about it. But if we just begin to do it, people will really get excited about this. And I found that the further I went and the more that I wanted to follow what the Bible says, the less people recognized that. And it just almost discouraging. But then when we think about Jesus coming in the flesh, love in the flesh, living his life, the more that he gave, the less he was loved. He gave his all to this world, and he should have been accepted, should have been exalted. And what'd they do to him? They crucified him. There's two spirits in this world, and they are at odds with each other. And the more of God that is manifest in a life, the less the world will understand it. The less they'll see it. The prophet talks about, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good, that call black white and white black. But that's exactly the way it is. They hated Jesus because he was light. The more that he loved, the less he was loved. And that's the way the church is. The more that they are what they're supposed to be, a lot of times the less recognized they are what they're supposed to be. In then it says, I've thought about this for just in our own example. Whenever, as we followed, the more that we've opened ourselves to other groups, the more that we would receive other people, the less we have been received. It's just amazing that we would open our doors of communion to anybody that just holds the basic teachings of Jesus. And as we've tried to understand that and open that from the very beginning, we said we didn't want rules. We didn't want anything that would restrict others at all from being a part of us. From the very beginning, it began to separate us to where people wouldn't have anything to do with us because we didn't have our own set of rules. We didn't have our own denominational doctrines. And the more that we've tried to open ourselves, the less we've been accepted. And it just seems to be more and more and more. The more we try to extend ourselves and help and just to accept anyone, the more we try to love with heart and soul everyone, the narrower the way gets. It's just amazing how that's the way the world, the way the Lord and the world operate together. The better he was, the better he is, the more he's rejected. And the more we try to open ourselves, the more doors that are closed to us. People try to create this synthetic fruit of separation. They try to isolate themselves. And they wind up with another religion. This is one of my notes here. It says, are you walking alone because you're too holy for anyone else? Or are you walking alone because no one will follow you? We try to separate ourselves and we try to create this false idea of separation by seeing how holy we can be and how separate we can be from the world or from everyone else. It's an outward synthetic fruit to prove that I'm separated from everyone else. Because I can't get along with anybody else. I won't accept anyone else. And so I isolate myself and no one will have anything to do with me. Because I won't have anything to do with them. And so we build this little island all by ourselves. Is that what it means to be separated from the world? Whenever Jesus talked about forsaking, leaving, it wasn't that we built a little island of our own that we just wouldn't let anybody near us. It was about following Jesus. And as you followed, that created a separation. That is what separated you. As you followed, no one else wanted to follow with you. That's what real separation is when you walk in the light, accepting, receiving, wanting, encouraging others to be with you, and then they reject you. Not you creating your own thing and rejecting everybody else. That is synthetic. We've tried to be as open as we can to other groups. Sure, we'll preach about where they're wrong, but we'll still accept them. Most people today can't take not having all of our opinions in line. We get offended because somebody doesn't agree with us. And we think that that is what true separation is. Because we've got to say all the same things. The apostles said told Jesus, there's some people over there that are doing miracles in your name. Shall we stop them? And Jesus said, if they're not against us, they're for us. Whoever's not against us is for us. True separation comes when you walk in the light and no one wants to follow the path you're taking. That's where separation comes. It's not something you set up. It's something a cross you bear for walking in the light. To be able to love people who disagree with you and let them make the decisions to separate because they don't want to follow. I just this week heard about a family in Siberia that in the 1930s there was a persecution going on. One of the czars had taken Russia over, and they were trying to bring Russia into the modern age. So one of the first things they did was put a beard tax on, because they wanted people to be clean shaven and brought in, or smooth shaven and brought into the modern age. And so they wouldn't appear like a bunch of old, just old rough Siberian billies or whatever, hillbillies. So they put a tax on the beard because they wanted to eliminate that. Well, the fundamentalist of the Orthodox Church at that time kept their beards and had to pay this tax. But they were also isolated because they saw that they weren't going along with the society. They were being different. Well, there became a persecution. And these two men were working out in the field. I don't know whether it was his brother or something. These two men were working. And the government came along and shot one of them because of the persecution. Well, this man went home, gathered up his family, took some seeds with him, took whatever they could carry, and went out into Siberia, into the Taiga, I think is what they call it. It's an area that's 5 million square miles of wilderness. And they went further and further into this till they were 150 miles away from the nearest house, fleeing persecution. And they lived there, and they found them in the 70s. They'd been there 40 years. They had children born there that had been there for 40 years, completely isolated from the world. One of them still there. There's one woman that's still living there today. The rest of them have all passed away. But in some of the talking with them, one of them talked about, and they kept their religion, and one of them talked about still struggling with his own sin. Being that isolated from the world and still struggling with sin. You don't overcome sin by isolating yourself from everybody else. That's the point. They still had to deal with themselves. Separation is not going 150 miles out into the wilderness and living by yourself for 40 years. Separation is when you walk in the light right where you're at. Not condemning everyone else for not doing what you're doing, but just walking in the light. Just being the light. Not going along with everything that everyone else is doing. Just walking. That brings a separation. And when people began to do that separation, begins to happen, you start looking for other people that are just walking in that light. And you find them and you just begin to have fellowship with them. Just naturally have that fellowship. We spend so much time trying to create things instead of just being. That's the heart and soul of what the church is all about, is just being what we need to be. The more that we try to love, the less that we're loved. This and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not any of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own. It's just such a blessing whenever what we have is used or is available to anyone who needs it. It's just such a blessing when that just happens. It's not forced upon us. We just choose to give ourselves one to another. It's not trying to force our ideas on one another. It's just giving ourselves one to another. Allowing each other to learn and grow as we go. I just remember that was reminded recently of whenever I used to go out knocking doors. I didn't know what to do. I just was looking for someone to guide, looking for help, looking for someone just to lead me. And I just went out. I wanted people to know that I had found something more than was just, and I was trying to just share that with other people and teach other people. And I would go from door to door knocking on doors, and I don't know how many times I would get to the door there and somebody would have their religion and they would just try to tell me how it went. And I just left there more than once just, how can that be? And I would go home and I would just get on my knees and open the Bible and look at what they had told me. And so often just see that the very thing that they even used to tell me was just diluted just a little bit. And the answer was right there in front of me. And then sometimes I would go door to door, and someone would start trying to tell me something, and it wasn't the way I was brought up. And I would just try to defend what they were saying, and I would leave. And I'd go home and I would open the Bible and try to defend my position. And after a while, realize that I didn't have anything to defend. And I would realize, they've taught me something. I learned something from them. Sometimes they didn't ever know it. They just saw something that they were just arguing with someone, holding to a point. But whenever I went home and studied, thought about it, realized that I didn't have anything to defend, I would change. That's what preaching is about. That's what we each have to come to on our own. We have to be searching for the truth on our own and give each other time to find that. not having to go along with everything everyone else is doing, but just walk in the light and give people room to walk in that same light and let them find their way. I didn't find my way overnight. I struggled for months with what the Bible said compared to what I had been taught all my life. Finally, one evening, I realized that Jesus wanted me to sell everything I had and follow Him. I'd been wrestling with that for a long time. And then I realized it. And I had to come to a decision to where I gave up and let Him change me. People think that I'm just stubborn and hard-headed sometimes, because when I believe something, I believe it. But when I look at the truth, then sometimes I have to change. And I do, and I have. Still on this path, there are still people that I disagree with, that after they tell me something and I think about it and I apply it and I look and I see I need to change. I'll change. I still see things in my own life that I don't like. And I fight with and I struggle with, looking for answers. And people try to give me their own answer. And I have already tried that or know that it won't work. It don't work. And so I try and keep looking to walk in the light, asking the Lord for help to guide me, to show me. And once in a while, He'll show the simplest thing, and I'll find His grace. And if I walk in it, there's help there. I want to turn to Job Chapter 23. This is Job's response. He's sitting in an ash heap, and all of his wise friends have all the answers for him. Job trying to say, I don't know what the problem is. I just know what you're telling me ain't working. I've tried that. I'm doing all that I know to do. I don't know what the problem is. And that's what I was talking about. Whenever we're looking for truth, when the solution comes, we'll take it. But if the solution you offer or I offer you don't work, I've got to let you try to find the answer to your solution. I can give you all kind of advice. I can make some recommendations. I can try to point you in things that I've seen and I've found that have worked. But I've got to let you apply it. I've got to let you come to that yourself. I can't force you into it. You've got to love with heart and soul the Lord. It takes patience. And that means being merciful. Patience means taking some time to allow other people to figure this out. Patience is giving people room, even though we might not agree. Even though we might, Paul and Barnabas were sharply divided. But they knew, we'll just back off here a little bit. And I'm going to give you patience to understand what I'm trying to tell you. I don't believe they would have not communed together because they disagreed. Don't believe that at all. It said they sharply contended with each other. We might look and say, well, you weren't very patient with him. But patience is not at the moment. Patience is what you're going to do after you walk away. Am I going to hold on to this and separate myself, or am I going to have patience with them? We find later that they were reconciled together because they had patience. Then Job answered in verse 23, or chapter 23, verse 1, then Job answered and said, indeed, I know how pleading is out of my reach. For his hand is heavy upon my groaning. Who then would know that I might find him and might bring this matter to an end? Job, sitting in his ash pile, lost everything. I know pleading is out of my reach. For his hand is heavy upon my groaning. He understands my groanings here. Who then would know that I might find him and might bring this matter to an end? He didn't have the answer. He didn't know what was happening to him. And his friends came, tried to tell him what was happening to him, but he knew that wasn't the answer. He wanted it to end just as bad as everyone else. They missed the whole thing. I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Would that I knew the words he would answer me. If I would just argue with God, I'll tell him my case. And I just wish I knew the words he would give me. And could understand what he would tell me. We are men. We're trying to understand God. We're trying to figure him out. That's why Jesus came in the flesh, to try to mend that gap between us. Sometimes it takes us a while to understand things. That's where patience comes in. We don't just get everything right off the bat. That's where you and I need to learn to work with each other. Though he would come on me in his great strength, he would not use the occasion to threaten me. Just imagine here a man feeling like everything is just falling in upon him, sitting in, just destroyed. I'd love to know what God is up to in all of this. But I still know that if he came, he wouldn't threaten me. He's not going to threaten me. He knows that we're but flesh. We need to know that each of us are but flesh. Sometimes we have the problem with not understanding God because we're so far apart, and then we expect the exact opposite whenever we deal with each other. For truth and rebuke are from Him, and He would bring my judgment to an end. Truth and rebuke are from Him, and He would bring my judgment to an end. He corrects us. He corrects us. He rebukes us and shows us. That's what I think is something that is completely lacking today in most of us. Being able to be rebuked. So many people today have grown up without a father. Have grown up without a respect for their father. I just appreciate again so much my dad. You know, I appreciate him. I don't necessarily condone a lot of the things that he did, because I mean there was times he yelled at me. He would get so mad at me. And he would say some of the meanest things. But you know what? I didn't think a thing of it. I learned that he was the authority and I wasn't. I didn't go get my feelings hurt. Oh, he yelled at me. I didn't go pout because he got mad at me. I was the boy. He was the man. And that was a lesson that I appreciate more and more every day. The more I see the people in this world that can't take a rebuke, even a mild one. Someone raises their voice a little bit and they, oh, he's yelling at me. He's wrong. I never thought that when my dad yelled at me that he was wrong. I was the boy. I was the knucklehead that needed reproved. Because most of the time, I knew he was right. You know, they got these labels for attention, AD, what is it, ADD?
ADHD.
ADHD. Attention disorder. Okay, attention deficit disorder. I don't know how the, whatever. Okay. You know what my dad had a remedy for that? Why don't you pay attention to what you're doing? Instead of labeling it as a disease. He told me to wake up and pay attention to what was going on. Instead of coddling me and feeling sorry for me. Oh, you can't keep concentrated, dear boy. Come over here and I'll show you how to concentrate a little more. And you know what? I learned to concentrate a little more. Because I knew the next time I went around following him on a tractor all day long, and that I did something stupid and he had to get off and fix it, I watched the next time I went around the corner and tried to do the same thing. I could have been coddled. Oh, you dear boy, you don't have good attention, do you? I thank the Lord. Whenever I'd break something, I'd see him stomping across that hayfield, having to come over there, stop everything and fix one of my stupid mistakes. We've got a whole generation of people that don't know how to be corrected by a father. And they need to learn it. That's one of the things we've tried to do with young boys come in here, young men that wasted their youth on drugs, wake up when they're 30 years old and still acting like a 12-year-old that's never had to learn anything from a father. We've tried to bring them in here and tell them, you learn how to be a boy and grow through your maturity. I've found that whenever we're dealing with people that are 34, 30, 40 years old in their body, they're still 12-year-olds in their minds. And that's a hard lesson to learn, and there isn't very many people that have learned it. A lot of those people have left thinking that we were being hard on them. Go off to be real religious or throw it all away, whatever. But the lesson we were trying to teach them was, you learn how to be a young man. And then you can be a man. Just because your body's that old don't mean that you've been through the maturity to learn things. One of the things the church, that's why the church talks about respecting the elders. Yeah, my dad was wrong a lot of times by the way he did things, but I respected him. And that doesn't mean the elders know all everything or have all the answers. They may even be wrong. But if you can't respect them, you're worse than dirt. If you don't have respect, you're a rebel. The Bible had a remedy for a rebellious son in Deuteronomy. They took him out and stoned him. Some of us may have to learn that lesson when we get a little older. I've had to learn a lot of things that I should have learned when I was young. But that's one thing that I did learn, and I'm thankful for learning it. So when you get corrected, you can go off and pout and cry, you children, or you can just respect. Maybe your parents are too harsh, but you learn to respect them anyway. You parents, that's your responsibility. We tell people about training children. Child training is easy. Adult training is the hard thing. Training the adult to be the adult is what's hard. If we can't learn anything other than that, that's worthy to be learned. You have to discipline yourselves, parents, to train your children the way they should go. That's how it works. The reason children aren't trained is because the parents don't have the discipline to carry it out. Not just talking about beating. I'm talking about taking the time to train people the way they're supposed to be. They should know when you haven't pleased them. They should know whenever they haven't met your expectations. They shouldn't worry about... the thought should never be, Mom's upset. You should live, children, to make sure they're not. Don't blame it on them. You let it make you better. You let it make you better. They're human. They aren't perfect. But you let it make you better. Learn how to do these things. Though I should proceed, in verse 8, for truth, verse 7, for truth and rebuke are from Him, and He would bring my judgment to an end. Though I should proceed to this important end till I no longer exist, still what would I know about the last things? Job was doing everything he knew to do. He was walking in the light that he had. And if God would have showed him any one thing that he could have done, he would have done it. He didn't know why he was going through what he was going through. But he knew that if God would show him another way, he would take it. People understand that are walking in the light. That's where their fellowship is. That they love with their heart and their soul, not in their agreeing or disagreeing opinions. Their heart and soul is set on walking in this truth. Job's friends were rebuked. Wouldn't it have been nice for one of his friends just to come sit beside him and say, "I don't know what you're going through, but I'll go through it with you. I don't have the answers. You're not stupid. This isn't the first day that you've started following the Lord. I didn't just become as overwise. But I'll go with you. Let's work this out together." Verse 9, "When he worked on the left hand, I could not understand it. His right hand will encompass me, but I will not see it. For he knows my way already, and he has weighed me as gold. I will go forth in his commandments, for I have kept his way, and I will not turn aside. I will not disregard his commandments, but I have hidden his words in my bosom. If he too has thus judged, who is he that has opposed him? Whatever he has willed, that he has done. Therefore I pursue him zealously. And when I was instructed, I thought of him. Therefore let me be serious before his face. I will consider and be afraid of him. For the Lord softened my heart, and the Almighty has alarmed me. For I did not know darkness would come upon me, but thick darkness covered my face. Therefore I will pursue him zealously. When we each pursue the Lord zealously, we'll have a heart and soul that will walk together. People of the living God, the Lord, this Spirit, brings separation. When people walk with the Lord, you can be as open to others as you can be. It's not your closeness that separates you. It's God's Spirit that people don't want to follow. They don't want to walk in. We can live the outward side of this all day long. Whenever we first started here, and we just said we weren't going to have any rules, I first thought that there would be several people in the group that we left that would have just flocked here because we didn't have any rules. But they didn't. Because there was something more than the rules that they hated that kept them away. We would have received them. But something kept them away. It wasn't our strictness. People didn't want to follow that brought the separation. It was the cross. The cross that is center to following the Lord keeps people from that fellowship. When you carry your cross and follow the Lord, you'll have fellowship with other people who are carrying that cross. If you try to create your own cross and follow someone with a cross, it won't work. But when you just walk in the light, as He is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. I don't know how many people have just come and tried, appeared for a while, but then one little thing, they just won't work. Over and over again. Okay, you can have your idea, you can have your opinion. Walk together. And they won't. Well, the more we're loved, the more we love, the less we'll be loved. The more we just try to open, the less we'll be open. Or the more doors will be closed. Maybe someone has something you want to share. Right.
Where we ought to be in relation to other people and how they are to us. Fellowship just is or isn't.
Right. Amen. Yeah, that's a blessing. It's just like discipline. We talked about child. We've had to exercise so little discipline as a church. Because if people don't want to do it, they leave. It's just happened over and over again. If you just walk in that light, the discipline takes care of itself. The Lord will do the disciplining. We don't know. We don't understand a lot of things. We question a lot of things. But when we just leave it to the Lord, He'll take care of it. And it's just like disciplined children. Most of the time, you shouldn't have to spank your children very often. Whenever you're training them. You still will have to. But you just carry out. You walk in that light. You be what you're supposed to be. And train them. Teach them. Then you won't have to carry that discipline out very much. Anyway. To leave anything question understandable. All right. Well, bring greetings to you from Olin and Brian there in Peru. Real blessing. Spend some time with them. And Israel and Roberto, they all send their greetings to you. We had a real blessed time together. So, anyway, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Go with us. Help us, Lord, I pray, to pursue you and to seek you with our whole hearts, Father. Lord, as we, some of the lessons, Lord, that we would look for the time when we can be together with you, Father. I think we just get so caught up in this life sometime that our focus is on what's around us, and our hearts sometimes don't just long to be with you. I pray that you'd help us to pursue you in that way. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless y'all. Children of